strange timing. I just happened to have two administrators from Bemidji State University on the Zoom with me right now. I had no idea the story leading into you guys was going to be about colleges. That was completely...
great timing.
Travis Green is the Associate Vice President for Student Life and Success at Bemidji State University, and Randy Westhoff is the Associate Vice President of Academic Affairs. Their jobs have had some interesting challenges that began last spring, just like we heard in the story. All across the United States, students just didn't go back after spring break in an effort to flatten the curve for COVID-19. But now, in just, 2 weeks from today, Bemidji State University is going to be starting classes up again. And Travis and Randy are here to tell us about how it's all going to work. Thanks for taking time to talk with me this morning, you guys.
Thanks for having us, Katie.
Yeah. So as the Associate VP of Academic Affairs and the Associate VP of Student Life and Success, it seems like everything falls on your shoulders. What do you guys do in your jobs?
Well,
this is Randy.
I work with the provost and the deans on all things academic, faculty, students, classes, programs. And I also oversee several areas of the university, the library or the records office, and honors program, leadership program, things like that.
Okay. And Travis.
And whereas Randy focuses on the learning that takes place in the classroom and through other curricular experiences, my area tends to focus on the learning that takes place in the co-curricular or extracurricular activities, as well as providing student support services that help students not only navigate their way through the university, but to help them be successful.
Okay, so during your career, do you ever go through the emotions of what if a pandemic hits or what?
Randy can talk about his training, but as a college professor in mathematics, I'm guessing his preparation may look different than mine, which was in higher education administration. I came through this profession in housing and residential life, where crisis management was one of the staples. And even in graduate courses at the doctoral level, I was studying to get my doctorate during H1N1, and we would spend a lot of time planning for how universities or colleges might respond to pandemics. But never was it at this scale of a 100-year global pandemic. We don't really have a lot of archival information to see how we could deal with the flu of 1918 to see how colleges responded, and the landscape of higher ed has changed so much. So no matter what training you've had, no matter what life skills you've acquired over the years, nothing has prepared us for what COVID-19 has brought us.
Right.
Yeah. A long time ago, I wrote a pandemic plan for the math and computer science department, but compared to what we've had to do this year, that was just play. I mean, it really was.
Well, last spring, everything went online, everything went online all of a sudden. And now we're going to be easing back into an in-person / online, maybe hybrid. What's going to happen starting, is it the 24?
Monday the 24th.
Okay, so how is Bemidji State University going to navigate this?
Well, the good thing is that we had a lot of time to plan this out. Mm-hmm. And so we took the governor's orders very seriously. Anything that can be done remotely should be. We can't have classes of over 25 students. And so we moved most of our courses, roughly 85 to 90% online, mostly synchronous. So they're going to meet at the times they're scheduled. We do have some things that just couldn't be done online, music, lessons, ensembles. Some of the science labs just have to be face-to-face, and a few other activities.
And Randy is absolutely correct. We've been planning since early March, trying to figure out different scenarios. And while we've been fortunate to be able to be pretty consistent with our planning for the academic experience this fall, that is primarily online remote instruction, we've had a lot of movement and fluidity when it comes to the residential experience, as well as what life might look like outside of the classroom. And so while we've had a number of months to plan for this, plans have changed not only on a weekly basis, but sometimes on a daily basis, depending on how this virus spreads. And the more we learn, we try and adapt and make sure we're doing things. So I'll try and be succinct here. In June, we were sending messages to our students that we were looking forward to a more robust on-campus residential experience, housing up to 900 students, but still mitigating the risk of COVID-19 through social and physical distancing, placing one student per room, but the residence halls were going to be full. Since that time, we've learned more about virus. We've learned about our county's ability to handle the spread. We've learned about testing. I was listening to the segment, two segments before ours, where the reporter Allison was talking about the need for fast and frequent testing. And while in Minnesota, we are fortunate to have a strong leadership throughout the state, our testing time has been lagging. Sometimes it would be 7, 8, 9 days out. And now, thankfully, local Beltrami County Public Health, in partnership with Sanford, reports that we're able to get test results in a couple of days. But if you listen to the other segment, we need the results in a matter of hours in order to effectively do contact tracing, isolation, and to house. So when we looked at the how the virus was spreading, the speed with which it was going throughout the state and in our local community, we made the difficult decision a couple of weeks ago to limit how many students can live in the residence halls. And we went down to 500. And that was based on our capacity. If we had X percentage of students needing isolation at the same time, what was our threshold in order to safely house them, to provide meals daily? And 500 was the number that we reached. And this was a decision made collaboratively, not in a silo or in a vacuum. And from that, we had to tell 300 students, which is approximately 6% of our student population, that we want them to come back. We just need them to hold tight until it's safe for them to do so. And luckily, the 500 students that we've identified have an on-campus experience: course, science lab, athletic, rehearsal, music practice. The 300 students who were impacted had all online classes. So we are working hard. We're working around the clock to figure out ways to bring them back safely. We just want them to come back when we've had some time to adjust and see how the virus adapts or doesn't. And if we are able to bring them back mid-semester, we're not going to wait till the spring term just because that's what we've communicated. We're just trying to take this on a case-by-case basis.
That's Travis Green. He's the Associate Vice President of Student Life and Success at Bemidji State University. I'm here with he and Randy Westhoff, who is the Associate Vice President of Academic Affairs. We're talking about reopening campus again in just a couple of weeks. Boy, your days must be crazy with new information coming at you all the time. And I can't even imagine that organizational feat of figuring out which students were going to be on campus and which ones might be all right not being on campus. So there's not going to be a football season. Is that right?
The NSIC, our Northern States Intercollegiate Conference, has decided to delay the conference. And then ultimately, I believe they're voting to most likely have it suspended until the spring semester.
Okay.
So I don't know the exact latest. Tracy Dill, our athletic director, would be a good guest to have on a future broadcast.
Okay.
But my understanding is there will be no conference championship play, and ultimately I think that'll have the trickle-down effect of a delayed season.
Interesting. So in the news story that preceded us, they were talking about the impact of communities when the students stay away. But I wondered if you guys could talk about, you've been in higher ed a long time, what is it about that on-campus piece that is so that is important to the college experience that you're really hoping to sort of re-cultivate that again?
Yeah, I think the on-campus experience for a typical freshman is just a transformative experience. It's where they meet lifelong friends and really make some memories. So I think it's really hard for faculty to build relationships with students if they're not face-to-face. Mm-hmm. So very different kind of experience. And something
I was going to echo exactly what Randy was saying. And Randy has many years at Bemidji State and knows just the vibrancy that a residential experience brings. I'm biased, of course, because that's sort of in my wheelhouse as far as the college student experience. What we were learning is we are learning just how vital the residential experience is for our students. We, 25% of our students live on campus. The remaining 75% live in the Bemidji community. But without having that on-campus residential experience, you wouldn't have the vibrancy, the community, the 24/7 type of a vibe that you get on on a lot of college campuses. So it is fundamentally changing how we do it. One of the segments before talked about being a high touch institution. Midgy State has been and will continue to be high touch in our interactions, but COVID-19 has also required us to pivot more towards a high tech experience and relying on Zoom and other means to not only deliver courses, but also to stay connected. We're trying to use our language so that we use physical distancing because we want to stay socially connected, but physically distance as a way to mitigate. And so even when it comes to programming in the residence halls or for students who are staying home for the semester, we want people to be engaged. We want them to be connected, and technology will be a key tool in helping us meet our goals.
Mm-hmm. I was reading online and some of the online tools that BSU has that help people through this. Everybody has to have a mask with them, it sounds like, at all times if they're on campus. Could you talk about some of the other protocols and measures that have been put in place to keep people safe?
Well, we're kind of operating with a skeleton crew this fall. People who can work from home are working from home. We do have a certain level of service, though. Everybody's required to take a health assessment before they come on campus, to wear a mask unless they're in a private office or a dorm room. And of course, social distancing is expected.
And within the residence halls, especially as we know, whenever you bring people back into a community, the first 2 weeks is really critical about how people reintegrate. And so we will be limiting who can come into the residence halls as far as guests or visitors. And even with move-in and early drop-off, we've never before had such a robust offering of where students could choose a four-hour block of time from August 1st through the 15th, come to campus, drop things off in their room, lock up, make it secure, and then come back on Thursday, August 20th, when we start new student orientation. And we'll even be doing move-in with a lot of social and physical distancing in place to help mitigate the spread. So we're really relying on students, families, faculty, staff, guest visitors to honor the system-wide and governor's executive ordered mandate to wear face coverings while inside. And then when you're outside on campus, have it readily available so that if you can't maintain the physical or social distancing, you're able to protect others from yourself by wearing the mask.
Right. Last spring when everything moved online, it felt like it happened pretty quickly. And I know a lot of professors, there are a lot of classes that are online classes, but a lot of professors and students are used to that in-person, face-to-face experience. How was the transition for faculty? And do you feel like as they're transitioning to this fall, they have a better grasp on online teaching?
Yeah, I really think they do. I was one of those faculty in the spring semester who suddenly had to teach all my classes online, and it was a really steep learning curve. But I think faculty have really learned a lot. I think we all realize we can do some things online that maybe we didn't even know we could before that. So it was at least now we have time to plan for it. So
yeah, summer looked a little different for professors than it often does, I suppose, this summer. A little extra work going into preparing for the fall. Every challenge or struggle always presents sort of opportunities and new knowledge. Could you talk a little bit about some positive outcomes that you were unprepared for that have presented themselves since this has been going on? Gosh, is it like 6 months now? It feels like it's about 6 months.
It feels like it. And I'm guessing it's kind of like dog years. 5 or 6 months may feel like, multiply that by seven. You know what? Some of the things that we've discussed at Cabinet, and President Hensrud has been a great leader through this. Her calm and steady leadership throughout both campuses, both at Bemidji State and Northwest Tech, have been not only inspiring but also reassuring for any of us who have been working. One thing that we've learned is the need for clear and open and transparent communication, and that's something I think most colleges and universities strive towards, but oftentimes struggle. But what we've done, and in partnership with Andy Bartlett and his great team in communications and marketing, is we've started having weekly campus fora where we will have meetings every week, and faculty and staff are able to log in and ask questions either anonymously or to have their name attributed. But it's really been a highlight of the week. We've had more participation through our online Zoom forums than we have through our once a semester, twice a semester scheduled campus forums in person. So I think that's something that we'll continue to keep, just to keep those lines of communication open. And because of the huge success that we've had communicating with our employees, with staff and faculty, we've also brought that to the student experience. And we've had 3 student forums at Bemidji State, with one more coming tomorrow, Tuesday the 11th at 11 a.m. And we've had 3 at NTC. So these are the takeaways that I don't think we would have ever experienced had we not gone through a global pandemic that required us to think creatively mm-hmm. about how to engage and connect and communicate with our employees and community. I don't know, Randy, if you would add anything.
I think the forums have been terrific. And I think faculty have just learned a lot about themselves and how they teach, and their students learning through this process as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for all you guys are doing. That's Randy Westoff and Travis Green. They are making things happen at Bemidji State University. School starts 2 weeks from today. And it's going to happen. Thanks. Bemidji's a small town, and I have a lot of friends who are staff, faculty. It's been phenomenal watching all of this sort of unfold and seeing the lengths that these professors are going to make the experience as good as it can possibly be for the students. So thanks for all the work you guys are putting in and care for keeping people safe. It took a lot of organization to get this thing pulled off.
Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.